give you a second to get there. Yeah, it's something. Forgetting about it. I'm going to try to call him tomorrow and see if he's found anything out. Might have to take matters into my own hands. First Kings chapter 18, verse 41. And the Bible says there, and Elijah said unto Ahab, get thee up, eat and drink, for there is a sound of abundance of rain. So Ahab went up to eat and to drink, and Elijah went up to the top of Mount Carmel, and he cast himself down upon the earth and put his face between his knees. And he said to his servant, go up now, look toward the sea. And he went up and looked and said, there is nothing. And he said, go again seven times. And it came to pass at the seventh time that he said, behold, there ariseth a little cloud out of the sea, like a man's hand. And he said, go up, say to Ahab, prepare thy chariot and get thee down, that the rain stop thee not. It came to pass in the meanwhile that the heaven was black with clouds and wind, and there was a great rain. And Ahab rode and went to Jezreel, and the hand of the Lord was on Elijah, and he girded up his loins and ran before Ahab to the entrance of Jezreel. Heavenly Father, we thank you again that we can come and meet, and we pray the snow will stay off us long enough to have a meeting here tonight, Lord, worship you. And we know snow's not going to keep you away from meeting with us. We pray you here with us tonight, or speak to our hearts, that we feel your presence. And you know our needs, Lord. We're a needy people for sure. And Lord, we need you more than anything. I pray for the kids on the other side, that you be with them and speak to their young hearts. And help us, Lord, help us to worship you in truth, and that you just can meet our needs, and we know you can, Lord. Put the service into your hands. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. I was doing a little series on prayer, and then we got sidetracked by a snowstorm, and two missionaries came, and so I wasn't preaching at night, but I'd been kind of still going along the lines about prayer. Persistence in prayer is one of the topic that I want to talk about tonight. We see Elijah. This is later on in his ministry, pretty far along. He was a great prophet of God. We know he was a praying man, and in chapter 17, I didn't read that, but in chapter 17, he told Ahab that there was going to be no rain at his word, that there would be no rain for a period of 3 years. Now, at his word, that meant at his prayer. He prayed, and for 3 years, there was no rain. And then we see that after 3 years, at his word, when he prayed again, that there would be rain. So he prayed, and there was no rain, and he prayed, and 3 years later, there was rain. Right there. And we see it at his word, as I said, meaning at his prayer. And so now the time had come, and for the rain, though, when we're at this point of the text, this is later on, 3 years after he told him in chapter 17 that there wouldn't be any rain. And you know what I see there? We see the power of prayer. Now, of course, our prayer has to be in accordance with the will of God, but he was God's man, God's prophet. The power of prayer, the power to stop the rain, and the power to start the rain. I mean, that's pretty powerful right there. We could pray and start the rain, and pray and stop the rain. James 5:17, verse 18 actually references this event right here, and it says that Elijah was a man subject to like passions as we are. You know, a lot of times in the Bible we see somebody like Elijah. Man, I like the Old Testament prophets. I mean, Elijah is a good one. Man, I mean, he can call down fire out of heaven and whoo, man, I mean, it burned up the sacrifices. And he kind of was laughing at the prophets of Baal and say, yeah, you know, maybe your God's off sleeping somewhere on a venture, you know, on a journey, and he gets on him a little bit and he called fire down. Man, I mean, he did some things. Elisha actually, and then we get to Elisha, he did more things. He asked for a double portion and he got it. But Elijah did some, they did some things in the power of God. But it's, you know, it says he was a man subject to like passions as we are. You know, a lot of times we look at these guys and we think, oh man, they were just like special guys. Well, I mean, in a sense, they were special because of the power of God on their life. But on the other hand, they were just human beings like we are. They got, you know, Elijah, right after this, Elijah gets discouraged because Jezebel wants to kill him. Because Ahab, when Ahab went flying back in the chariot, he hadn't told Jezebel yet what happened up on Mount Carmel with all them prophets of Baal. She hadn't heard that news yet. I don't know how Ahab broke it to her, but when he did, she was not happy. And she told Elijah that tomorrow, about the same time, his life was going to be like those prophets that he had slain up on Mount Carmel. So, and we know right after that, he ran from her and got discouraged and went out in the desert and just wanted to die. So we know that he could get discouraged. So we know he was a man like we are. I mean, a human being. I mean, the only thing was he was a praying man, and he had some power with God because of that. He was a God-fearing man. So never think or put these guys in a place that we could never get to. I mean, we can be in the same place and have power with God if we would be a praying man in the same way. And so, you know, when he believed in the power, I think, of prayer. He believed in the persistence of prayer. You know, look at this thing here down at the bottom. It says, when Elijah said to Ahab, "Get thee up, eat and drink, for there is a sound of abundance of rain." And verse 42 said, "So Ahab went up to eat and to drink, and Elijah went up to the top of Mount Carmel." Notice the difference right there. Missionary Amy Carmichael said this: every day that we live, we have to choose whether we're going to follow in the way of Ahab, eating and drinking and being merry, or we're going to follow in the way of Elijah, which is going up to the mount to pray. I mean, we got, you know, that's the choices we have to make every day. Are we going to follow Ahab in life, or are we going to follow Elijah? We see in verse 42 that it says about Elijah that he cast himself down to the earth with his face between his knees. You know, that's kind of a picture of a fetal position, I guess. You get down there, you all balled up. I don't know whether he was laying on his side or he was bent over down on his knees and had his head down there. He's bowed down. I mean, it's a position of humility. It's a burdened position, a burden for his people, a burden for the glory of God. I mean, he had a burden, you know, for the things of God, a burden for people. You know, he wanted God's glory above all things, but he had a burden for people as well. And, you know, and he got in that position, bowed down. I was reading something I read somewhere along the way this week. They said that in Bethlehem, that there was the Church of the Nativity, that when they built the Church of the Nativity, they specifically made the entranceway to the church, when you go in, really low, so that in order to get in, you had to bow down, you had to stoop over and bow down to get into the church. They did on purpose for that reason, you know, a position of humility. So, you know, just got a couple of points on it tonight. One of the things we'll look at, and really it goes with the title of the message, is being persistent in prayer. As I said, this event took place right after Elijah had confronted those 850 false prophets of Baal. And they called out to their God. They cried. They cut themselves with lancets, it said, and blood flowed. And they wailed and wept and did all kind of things. And guess what? Nothing happened. Nothing. Amen. I mean, nothing. It's deader than a Baptist church meeting. I mean, nothing happened right there, right? But then Elijah said, okay, he said, listen, I want you to take a bunch of barrels. He put the bullock or whatever on the altar, and he had a trench around it and had the altar all built. And he said, I want you to pour water on it and pour water on it again. I think pour water on it again. Poured water on there, man, got it soaking wet. And then he prayed. And fire, immediately, fire came down from heaven and burnt that thing up. I mean, man, it burnt up the sacrifice. It burnt up the altar. It burnt up the rocks, it says. It burnt up the dust, and it burnt up all the water. I mean, man, it wasn't nothing. This wasn't just an average, you know, little ordinary fire, man. I mean, it was a fire from heaven. But it happened in response to the prayer of Elijah. I mean, man, when he prayed, that was a prayer that was answered, like, right away. But you know, a lot of times when we pray, it don't happen right away, does it? Huh? I was thinking about that. I guess I'd be safe to say this. I mean, somebody might say I'm wrong or not agree with it. But I think more times than not, when we pray, our prayer isn't answered immediately that fast. I mean, man, you know, you pray and boom, it happens just right away. It does sometimes, but sometimes there's some time, there's some space in between our prayer and our answer. And, you know, in this case, that's what happened. Now, when he goes to pray about the rain, when he prayed for fire to come down out of heaven and burn up a sacrifice, happened. But now he said, I'm going to pray about the rain. And Elijah's up there praying, and he tells his servant, he said, I want you to go look out and see if there's anything happening yet tonight. Before the storm, you know, I got to look in where our house sits up on the side of the mountain there. You can see way out down there to the west, southwest. And I was looking at that far mountain range back there, and Sherry was looking, and she said, yeah, it looks like it's getting a little white. I looked, it's a little hazy looking. I said, yeah, you can see it in the air. And then I went and got some stuff, firewood and that, and I looked back out there, and buddy, I couldn't see the mountains. I was looking, see, so I noticed snow's coming. And by the time I got my suit and everything on, I got a little bit, I had a couple light bulbs I wanted to put in on my floodlights outside. I ran out there. It was already starting to snow. See, you see it coming. He sent Elijah, sent his servant. He said, I want you to look out there across the Med, I think from the west where they were. The rains came from the west. He looks out there. He comes back. He says, I don't see nothing. And Elijah did some more praying. And he says, I want you to go out there and look out there again. And he went out there and he looked out there again. He comes back, he says, I don't see nothing. Six times he looks out there and he says, I don't see nothing. But then Elijah said, I want you to go one more time. And he went out there and he came back and he said, you know, I see some clouds back there. It looks like a man's hand. Huh? You know, when you pray to God and you don't see something, the fire doesn't come down out of heaven like right away, what does that mean? Does that mean that God didn't hear? Does that mean that God's not going to answer our prayer or do what we want Him to do? But how often do we think that? Six times? Let me ask you this, be honest. Six times you're going to pray. Six times you prayed and then you look for an answer and it wasn't there. Six times you pray again and you look for an answer and not there. I mean, I can understand maybe one, two times, maybe three times, maybe four times. But how many good old Baptist folks after about two, three, four times would say, well, it just answers no. That's what it is. The answer is no. I know better. Because see, we're so impatient. We're living in that, I want it yesterday, you know, time frame. We wanted it yesterday. We're so impatient. He said He didn't hear. It wasn't that God didn't hear, and it wasn't that God wasn't going to do it. Maybe it's God couldn't make up His mind. Huh? God just wasn't sure. I think with a lot of folks, I think that's what, with the way a lot of folks live their lives, it's like God can't make up their mind. Yep, I'm positive God wants me to do this. And then I'm positive God wants me to do that. And now, and then a lot of times them are opposite things. You know, God's real confused. No, I don't think God's confused. It's us that gets confused. Now, sometimes God does say no. And I believe God will let you know when He says no. God just doesn't leave us hanging, see? Like you pray about something and you don't get the answer you're looking for, so we don't get the answer right away and we think, well, it's no. Well, how do you know when no is no? Because I just think there'll be a peace about that. You know, that you'll be convinced that for sure that, you know, the answer is no. You might hear an audible voice from God. I don't know. It might be. And then another thing, sometimes God says, wait. Sometimes God said, listen, the answer is not no. The answer is not now. You know, it's just wait. It's got to be God's timing. You got to wait, wait, wait. Sometimes you have to wait for it. And like most say, most of the time we just quit too soon. Continuance is a good thing. Listen, if God hasn't said no, keep praying. We don't find nowhere in there when He went and He sent His servant the first time and said, you see any rain coming? And His servant came back and said, I don't see any rain coming. We don't see anywhere where God says, no, I'm not going to send the rain. I don't think God's going to keep you persistent, persistent, persistent just to say no. You know, if we haven't heard no, then we keep praying. Remember Daniel, he prayed 21 days, right? He, you know, the answer was trying to come. One of the angels was trying to bring the answer, but he was detained by the prince of Persia, which was Satan's group. He was detained with that answer right there. He kept on praying. Continuance is a good thing. We talked this morning about praying and other things, being persistent or having a desperation is what we were talking about. Continuance is a good thing in prayer. Keep praying. Continuance is a good thing in worshiping God. Keep worshiping God. Continuance is a good thing in service, serving God. That's a good thing. It's continuance in faith, continuance in love, continuance in hope. Man, listen, don't quit. I seem like sometimes the answer to everything for some people is just quit. I'm just going to quit. Listen, if we quit every time we got discouraged, we wouldn't get very much done. If we quit every time there was an obstacle in the way, we wouldn't get very much done. Or any hiccup along the way or a bump in the road, we wouldn't get a lot done. Don't quit. You know, he kept sending his servant. I wondered about his servant. I wonder if Elijah's servant was thinking, man, You know, I keep going out here and I keep seeing nothing. I don't know why he keeps sending me out here to look and I'm not seeing anything. Why don't he just go and look? You know, probably all kind of things he might have been saying, but he kept doing that. You know, six times, as I said, we'd get kind of discouraged in that area right there, right? You know, especially when it comes like doing things for God. You're doing the Lord's work, man. You want, you know, and it seems like God's leading a certain way. And it seems like, boy, you know, this is it. This is what God wants me to do. I'm telling you, we went the last bunch of weeks. I was telling Sherry this morning, I said, write down a list. Let's write down all the people in the last 2 or 3 weeks that have said they were thinking about coming to church. They've been thinking about it. We went back and visited them. One of the families I've been praying about, we went back and visited them the other day. Visit them again. Yeah, we just ain't been feeling good. We're going to try to get down. Man, how long? Listen, if you stay sick 3-4 weeks, you probably ought to go to the hospital. You know, if you've been sick 3-4 weeks, just go get it. Go get checked out. There's something wrong. You know, they've been feeling bad. But all the people, we said, man, here's a group. Here was a family with some kids. Here was another family with a couple kids and another person involved. And we listed all the people. I said, I'm not kidding you. If all the people that said they were thinking about coming to church would come in, I mean, from Whitney, from you on, that row right there back would be filled up, just one group of people. And so every Sunday I've been coming in. Well, we prayed about it. We prayed about it, and we were doing what God wanted us to do. We were going out and witnessing these people. We were talking to them about the Lord, man. We're giving them information, giving them books, and praying with them and talking to them about the Lord. We're doing what God wants us to do. You think, well, God ought to bless that, right? God ought to bless that. And so we go to do it, and we get excited. Every Sunday morning, I've been coming here the last 3 weeks. Not a single one of them. Not a single one of them. What do I feel like doing? I ain't praying for them. What do I feel like doing? Man, it's discouraging. Now listen, you know, but see, we can look at the glass half full, glass half empty, and there's been some, you know, some other positive things. I mean, some other people have come, and, you know, some people got saved, and Mary and J.R., you know, Mary got saved. They was here this morning, man. She had a list of questions for me that she'd been looking in her Bible. She had a list of questions. She wanted answers to them, you know, and they was good questions. They were good questions, and she wanted to know some things. Been reading her Bible, and that's some encouraging things. But see, what happens to our human nature, we get to looking at the other. But I mean, what happened here, man? I'm praying about these people. They need the Lord. Some of them told us that they were thinking about coming before we actually even talked to them. Out of all them people, not a single one. We get where we discouraged. You know what I'm going to do? I'm going to keep on praying. I'm just going to keep on praying, man. That's all I can do. I'm just going to keep on praying. Because they only missed 3 weeks, so I got 3 more weeks to go. And then the 7th week, maybe they'll be here, right? I mean, I'm just going to pray. And then a lot of times, too, when we get discouraged, like Elijah kept sending his servant, and I don't know what he could do. But you know what we do a lot of times with other things in our life? We pray about it, but we already got a backup plan. I'm going to pray about it, but if God don't answer in, like, 15 more seconds, we want that fire from heaven right away. Then this is what I'm going to do. You know, we got a contingent plan in case God doesn't answer our prayer on time, and we take matters to our own hands, and then guess what happens? You get more discouraged than you were already. You get more discouraged than you were already because it didn't go down the way you thought it would right there. Now, here's another point. Just because Elijah's servant didn't see anything, you know, he kept looking to the west there to see. Just because he didn't see anything doesn't mean that God wasn't doing anything. You know, sometimes a cloud can come from a long... Now God could have just made a cloud pop up right there and rain would have started. But it started way out there small. You know, way off. You know, a storm's coming from a long way. You watch the radar. This morning, you know, when we got out of church and got home, it was kind of sunny. You know, and then as the afternoon progressed, it kept coming from the west, right? It kept coming. God was already doing something as far as snow goes right there. And so here's the thing. Just because Elijah's servant didn't see it doesn't mean God wasn't doing anything. And here's another thing. What else could Elijah do? Now, there's a lot of things where you can take them into your own hands, but producing rain's not one of them. Huh? When it comes to a rainstorm coming after a 3-year drought, what are you going to do? You know, we'll do a little dance, right? Huh? What are we going to do, man? Throw something up in the air and hope that, you know, that produces rain? There's nothing you can do. All he could do was pray. All he could do, what else could he do? He just kept praying because it was out of his control. Out of his control. We want to control everything we can control a lot of times. Luke 18:1 says this, that men ought always to pray and not faint. Not faint means don't quit. You ought to always pray. You know, you wouldn't quit if you got an instant answer all the time, but a lot of times we don't get the instant answer. Don't quit. Don't get tired. Don't give up. It's taught, there's a couple parables in the Bible. Remember the unjust judge, in the parable of the unjust judge, the widow woman kept going to him. He finally wearied him so much that he finally gave her what her request was. There was also in the parable of the friend at midnight that came and wanted some bread. He had some company. He kept banging on the door. You know, he said, listen, I got to have it. The guy says, midnight, go away. No, he wouldn't quit. So, and he got what he was looking for. That's what those are all teaching about, not quitting. So we see persistence. Then we see perception as well. Second point, Elijah was trusting God. I mean, he sent his servant the seventh time. I wonder what would happen if he hadn't sent him the seventh time. I don't know. I mean, maybe the rain was coming anyway, but he kept looking. See, the thing I like to see, he's looking for it. A lot of times, see, not only would we have quit praying, we would have quit looking. We're not looking for anything to happen. You know, because that goes along with the faith issue right there. And the Bible says that he saw a little cloud and it looked like a man's hand. I don't know what the significance is of it looked like a man's hand. I'm sure somebody's preached a whole message on the fact that cloud looked like a man's hand. The hand of God, or the hand that's given, whatever you want to do. You ever look at clouds? This is what made me think of my buddy Bo a while ago. You ever look at clouds and you lay out there and you look and see what they look like? Ooh, yeah, look at that. I see it too. We used to do that a lot in the 60s and 70s. Don't we? I see it too. But my buddy Bo, you know how I can think, sometimes I guess we all can do it, but I can think of specific little incidences in life that don't amount to a hill of beans. But I remember Bo and I, when we were just boys, going down to the field. Our neighborhood had a field. We called it the field. Good name. It was a field. It had a baseball backstop, all it had. Went down there like in March, laid on the grass on our backs. One of them sun, clear, them blue sky days, but it had the white clouds going by. And we were saying, what does that cloud look like right there to you? What does that cloud look? And I remember doing that just plain as yesterday with this guy that I'm not sure where he's at now. I'm missing that. Y'all asked y'all to pray about. I remember doing that with him. Look at clouds. He said it looked like a man's hand. It looked like something to him. He was one of them guys that looked at clouds and had to put a description with it. You know, Elijah was so in tune with God, when the servant came back and he said, you know, way out there. I mean, he saw this thing way out there. They were up on the mountain, man. They were on Mount Carmel, so they could see a long way. He saw this little cloud, it said. It was so far away. It might have been a big cloud, but it looked like a little cloud from where they were. It looked like a man's hand. Elijah didn't say when the servant came back, he said, hey, I saw this little cloud. It looks like a man's hand. He didn't say, well, it could be rain. It might be the rain that's coming that I'm prayed about. No. He said, you go tell Ahab to get ready, get on his chariot, and don't let the rain stop him from getting back home. Get on his chariot. I mean, this is confidence right there. They say, listen, if you're going to pray for rain, you better carry your umbrella, right? Huh? If you're praying for rain, you don't have your raincoat, your umbrella, then you're not really thinking that it's going to rain, right? I mean, that is confidence. He said, go tell. All he saw was a little cloud. It was so far away, yet it was just a little cloud like a man's hand. And, you know, we look up, like I said, from where I can see at my house. When the front comes, I mean, it covers the whole horizon from there to there. You get up on Mount Carmel, look out on the Mediterranean Sea, a little cloud was just in a little speck right there. It could have just been one little cloud going to blow by over there 50 miles away. I mean, it wasn't a whole front all the way across there. It was a little cloud in the center of his vision. Just a little cloud. But he said, you tell Ahab, go get on his chariot. Don't let the rain stop him. It's coming, man. I mean, he knows this is it. The seventh time, this is it. And so he's sure about that. And then we see provision too in the third point right there. God knows what we need when we need it. God knows what we need. Look what it says in verse 45. And it came to pass in the meanwhile that the heaven was black with clouds. I think this little cloud's getting a lot closer and a lot bigger. And there was a great rain. It says, a great rain, and Ahab rode and went to Jezreel. A great rain. Listen, after 3 years of drought, y'all remember, it's been several years back now that we had a real, real dry summer. Man, it might have been 10, 15 years ago now, maybe. It was just a real dry, I know time flies when you're having fun, but it's way back. And I remember, man, it was so dry, we were worried about hunting season getting called off, canceled or postponed or whatever. And it, you could walk in the woods literally, and I bought some new boots. I remember I went out and just walked in the leaves, and they were just covered in dust in the woods. The woods were so dry. And I remember when it finally did rain, and it was a couple times we had a couple fake outs, you know, it got to thundering and that, and clouds rolled up, it didn't rain. You could almost smell it. But when it finally rained, I went out on our carport over there at Cedar Bluff. I went out there on the carport and I was just smelling it, man. It smelled so good. We hadn't had rain in so long. It'd been like 5-6 weeks or something like that. Can you imagine 3 years of no rain? It was a lot of dried up ponds and dead fish bones and dust. And I mean, it's already, you're talking about an arid spot already. 3 years. They hadn't had a bit of rain. I'm going to tell you what it says right here, that they had a great rain. They didn't need a sprinkle. They didn't need, after 3 years of drought, listen, they didn't need a sprinkle. They didn't need a little shower. They needed a great rain. They needed a great rain, and God knew exactly what kind of a rain they needed. You know, nothing at this point, nothing little was going to satisfy what they needed. You know, we look around at the world today, the world we live in right there, and we look at the need that the world has. It's not a little need. It's a great need. There's a great need out there today. When you look, the world has a great need for a lot of God, not just a little bit of God. That's the problem. You know, we look at the church today. We don't have just a little need for God today. We got a great. We've had about all the little bit of God that we can stand as far as that goes. I mean, we have a great need today. We have a great need tonight for a whole lot of God. We need a great God. We need to be overwhelmed and overcome by the power of God's presence. You know, I like in Acts, we need that church in Acts where they prayed. The Bible said the place shook. Shook. Oh, that couldn't happen today. It won't happen while we think it won't, but it could happen. Yes, it could. We need a shaking place. And then we look at ourselves as individuals. There's an old hymn that erroneously says, Lord, I hear of showers of blessings. Let some drops fall on me. We don't need no drops falling on us. We need a deluge, as they say. We need the blessings of God to shower. We need it to pour down on us. Man, I don't need just a drop. Man, I need the whole thing. I need it to pour down. And we need a soaking, poured out upon us. Today, as individual people, when we think about, man, we just don't need that. That's the problem with a lot of times with people of God, particularly, man. They just want a little bit of God. They really don't want a lot of God. They just want a little drop here and there. They don't want the whole thing poured out, God to pour it out on us. Psalm 85:6 says, Wilt thou not revive us again, that thy people may rejoice? I talked this morning about a cry of desperation. That psalm right there. Wilt thou not revive us again? That's a cry of desperation. See, the place is shaking. Hey, man, come on, shake it up, man. We praying about that. Listen, we need the place to shake. I'm not kidding. There was a cry of desperation there. Will that not revive us again? We got a revival coming up. How many of us are crying out to God that God's really going to do something in the revival? And listen, I'm not even waiting for God. I want it to rain today. Huh? I don't want to have a wait till however many weeks it is till the revival comes up. Listen, we'd have it now. We know ask God for it now, but we know what? We got to cry out for it. Not just, Lord, I'm pray you bless the revival, you know, hope we have a good revival. No, man, we want God to a desperation cry. And it won't happen until we get desperate and pray and keep on praying. And then also, I like this. I like this part. It doesn't necessarily go with this message, but you get it anyway at no extra charge. Running in the power of the Lord. The Bible says that there that Ahab, he rode in his chariot. Ahab rode and went to Jezreel. There was a great rain, and Ahab rode, and he's riding to Jezreel. But look in 46, it says, the hand of the Lord was on Elijah, and he girded up his loins, he girded up his robe and everything, and he ran before Ahab to the entrance of Jezreel. I mean, man, he's out running a guy riding in a chariot with horses. In the power of the Lord, he is outrunning him. Man, I mean, I was a runner, man, when I was in school. I didn't do long. It was, they say, depending on who you read, the distance was 17 to 24 miles. Now, I wouldn't have been worth a hoot in that kind of a run, except by the power. But and even without, there wasn't no way you're going to outrun horses. But man, you imagine running, man, he's running, he's outrunning the horses, man, in the power of the Lord, running ahead of them. In the power of God. I mean, man, this is what God can do. Listen, the hand of God was upon him. You know, he had sent fire in response to prayer. He caused a drought and famine in response to Elijah's prayer. He sent rain in response to Elijah's prayer. And now he caused his servant to outrun a chariot in response to prayer. But also note this. You know, the rain was a blessing. 3 years drought. I imagine the people were a lot like I was talking about. And I know I remember talking to another man that lived out there near us at that time. He said the same. He said, man, I went outside and just smelled it when it started raining. Stood in the front of the barn and smelled it. I imagine in those, when that rain finally came and it got, boy, the people got excited. And man, they were just probably out, some of them out standing in the rain, getting washed. And man, water was scarce as it was, as I said in that day. That was a blessing from God. And Ahab rode through the blessing of God. He rode through the blessing of God. How many people are going through the blessings of God in life and yet not turning to God? The drought, the famine, the fire from heaven that burned up the prophets, the false prophets of Baal, and now the rain didn't bring Ahab or Jezebel to repentance. All that proof, all those blessings, knowing that God's man prayed and the rain came, they rode right through the blessings of God and never changed their heart. Don't be like Ahab and Jezebel and be living in the midst of or passing through the blessings of God on your life and never have your heart changed. Amen. Think about this. How many of us want to hear from heaven tonight? How many want to hear from God tonight? How many want revival in their hearts or revival in their church? Don't give up. Don't give up. Go the seventh time. Go the seventh time and look and look and keep praying. Listen, not only seven times, how about seven times 70 times? As long as God doesn't say no, just keep going to God and ask and ask and ask. See, there are some things I already know the answer to. Does God want to revive church? Yeah. Does God want us to be revived personally as a revived people? Yeah, the answer is not no. Anyway, like, God, we want our church revived. And God's going to say, no, I don't want my church revived, man. We're going to get too excited. Y'all turn into fanatics. No, God's not saying that. We already know the answer to it. But the revival hadn't come. So then we just go to God and say, you know, pray about other things. Lord, what's in my life? What's hindering the revival? What in my life is hindering the revival? What in my church is hindering a revival? What is it? You know, Lord, help me, cleanse me, whatever I need to do. Give me a cleansed heart, a cleansed mind, whatever. Just keep praying. Well, what if I don't get a cleansed heart and a cleansed mind the first time? Just keep asking. Keep asking God. Keep asking because I know the answer is not no in that case. I believe that Elijah knew that the answer on the rain wasn't no. He already knew God's plan 3 years before. He knew 3 years before that he was going to pray and the rain was going to quit. And he knew that in 3 years he was going to pray again and the rain was going to come back. He already knew it. He knew it, man. That's why he kept looking. He knew the answer wasn't no. Huh? Just keep on praying. Amen? Amen. All right, let's stand.